If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Empty of the mic.
910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Welcome in, everybody. It's a Wednesday. All right, y'all know this. I'm from the Midwest. I make it my point to not be like, when it's snowing and everybody doesn't go out, you know, one of my very strong stances is I'm not be like, oh, back in my day, you know, we can drive in the snow. Kansas doesn't shut down when it snows. We still went to school. We didn't buy all the bread. We can eat 1,000 slices of toast in your cold home. You know, what do you got? I don't do that because it doesn't snow often here. I get it. I don't think you should have snow equipment in your house if it snows once every 3 years, which is kind of about the number here. Then the water thing, though, that's off. That's totally different. And now here we are. It's Wednesday. We're still not doing things yet, and a snowstorm's coming Sunday or Saturday, they say. So the kids are never going back to school, is what I'm hearing. Nor should they if the school is cold.
Yeah.
I think we're just going to have to educate them about sports for 2 hours a day on MP on the mic. Hazel's back.
Woo!
Hi.
Hey. It's been a while.
I want to talk about an interesting decision you made. You're not from here either.
No.
Went back home for the holidays, mm-hmm. Which we all, of course, support and endorse. What I find interesting, though, was at some point this week, I think you have the internet out there in Oregon. I think you have, I know you subscribe to the Richmonder.
I do.
You get the Richmonder emails.
I got my emails.
I know you've been getting the emails. Take me through the decision process where you're like, yeah, I want to go back. That looks like a good place to be right now.
Seems like they're having fun over there. Everybody's throwing snowballs. Stinky. So there was no decision process. I said, oh, the water's out. That's terrible. It'll be fixed when I get there.
You got a plane ticket, and when it's time for the plane to leave, it's time for the plane to leave.
They said get in the seat. I said, okay.
Well, I'm overjoyed you're back because I love having Stubb in, but it does seem that when Stubb sits in, things happen and not like in a good way. Stubb's now sat in for a number of crisis-oriented shows that we've done here. The snowstorm, the water, Scotty Scheffler getting arrested, the pants thing.
Are we blaming Stubb?
Yes. Stubb's back tomorrow. I'm just saying be careful, Richmond.
Be careful, Richmond.
Be
careful. Watch out there.
I think the person I feel for the most, obviously, like there's people who are very impacted, but the mayor, Danny Avila, has been mayor for 8 days now. snowstorm, water outage, and we were listening into him talking just now, mm-hmm. as he was given the update. The water's coming back in Richmond. as we were here. I'm telling you, it's a 100-year-old water plant. Obviously, this isn't a political show, so we'll leave aside. But the city of Richmond is not historically known as the, you know, tip top model of good governance and being on top of things.
They're working off of it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. And day eight, like I don't think anybody's blaming him. I haven't even John Reed down there on the actual political station. John and I were talking. He not blame. It's clearly not the mayor's fault. That this 100-year-old water plant broke. It's a heck of a first week, though.
Oof. Spending the night at the water plant? No.
Reconsidering? man, I don't know. I think I'd be reconsidering a little bit. This is a playoff week for the Washington Commanders. We will get to that. All right, programming notes here. Everything's topsy-turvy. For a lot of reasons, the water just being one of them, the snow being one of them, it's a Commanders playoff week being the other. Start with this. No play Chesterfield today. That's our weekly segment where we catch up with a high school athlete in the Chesterfield County Schools. Chesterfield is out today, so the kids aren't there to talk to us. We will reschedule. Clover Hill was scheduled to talk today. We're not ignoring Clover Hill, and we'll give that reminder again at 10:30 for the people who tune in later. We're not ignoring Clover Hill. They'll return another day to do their segment, which I think is a correct. I don't think any athletics are happening right now, so there's that. Commanders playoffs, which we have to talk about because the Commanders are freaking in the playoffs, and I've been waiting so long to watch them win a playoff game. I was covering the team when RG3 was here, and I was like, oh, playoffs, it's a thing football teams do. And it's been a minute since then. The Packers game, I thought they were going to win. Maybe we'll do story time later in the week. Sean McVay thought they were going to win. And I'm not going to do story time on who Sean McVay blamed for the loss. But it was a player on the team, and you know who he is. And it's a heck of a story. So I'll pocket that one for now, but we'll do story time about that. The playoff game, the Taylor Heinicke game against Tom Brady, that was just fun. Nobody thought Taylor Heinicke was going to beat Tom Brady. We all love Taylor Heinicke. He didn't, but he became a folk hero in the process. No issues there with that playoff game. And now, this one. That's it. That's the list. Since 2012, that's the list of playoff games. I think they have an actual shot to win this week. All of which is to say, Craig Hoffman will join the show at 11:30. This is the back end of the home and home. Craig, I go on Craig's show in D.C. on Monday nights. We have a standing time. And Craig and I chat, and we usually play that back on Tuesday here. And my thought is just it's good conversation. He is a professional radio guy. Like, he literally went to school to study how to do this. And I appreciate that y'all put up with me, but I'm not. We have fun here. It's not a bad radio program. I believe we put on good radio here, but he's a professional, and we usually have good conversation because he's thoughtful and leads good conversation. So we usually play that back. 4 minutes in to my appearance on Craig Hoffman's show Monday, the mayor started giving an update. And I was like, hey, I don't want to big time you, Craig, but we got to pull the plug. I got to go talk to the mayor. I don't have water, and I got to go ask him what's up. So we'll do a full conversation here on this show. If you missed it yesterday, Bram Weinstein, voice of the Commanders, dropped by. That was a really good interview as well. It, of course, is on the podcast, which you can find on all major podcast platforms and the free Odyssey app, Apple Store and Google Play. I'm not done yet with show updates. It's a VCU basketball night. At home, at the Siegel Center, coming back after an eventful road trip, which we've certainly covered in depth and will continue to do. That gotta have it game against Loyola, where the offense showed up, but man, the defense looked so good rallying those guys. Sister Jean doesn't know what hit her. She's still reeling from that one. Nice little 20-point burst at the end. Get the win, setting up a nice game tonight. And of course, the loss of St. Bonaventure, that, you know, which is, it just followed the playbook. That's how these guys lose this year, is close games where they don't close down the stretch, and there's plenty of time to discuss that. VCU hoops tonight at the Siegel Center against Fordham, the Rams. They're here. Fordham is here. They're ready to play basketball. There's no water at the Siegel Center right now. The mayor gave an update a little while ago, richmonder.org, if you want to read that update. He's optimistic that they're going to start getting water through the system today. The options here are, don't play basketball, delay it a day or multiple days. Play basketball, no fans, which if you don't have toilets, you have to go no fans. So I think we all agree on that. Or play basketball with fans if there's enough water and we can get some toilets, get some concessions, get the players a shower after the game. They will make that decision no later than 2 p.m. this afternoon. So AWOD will have that decision for you. He's on noon to 3. May come back for a pregame show later tonight. We'll see. All of which is to say, Robbie Robinson will join us because it's still a VCU game day at 10:45. He's the voice of the Rams. We love checking in with him. Zach Joachim comes by on Wednesdays. That's regularly scheduled. What's not regularly scheduled is he's running around with his head cut off because obviously the Times Dispatch is doing work on this water situation as well. He said, can I come on the radio now-ish? Sure, you can. So that's a long introduction, probably longer than we usually give on this show. But that's the table. Zach Joachim joins us in a couple minutes to talk VCU basketball against Fordham, a game that may or may not happen and that you may or may not be invited to. We'll get you ready for all possible situations. We're off and running. It's the Wednesday show. Thanks for joining us.
It'll be on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM.
VCU game night, probably. You'll hear it here, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Robbie and Rodney on the call. On Wednesdays, we check in with our guy, Zach Joachim, Richmond Times Dispatch, richmond.com, of course. We have a lot to talk about. We don't like Zach because he lives downtown, but he still has water. But we'll make peace for this segment. Thank you for being flexible with your time, Zach. And good morning. What's it like having a nice shower over there?
One might say much has happened since last we talked on the air, my friend. I tweeted out that my water is working again, so I'm very much one of the lucky ones because I was only without it for about 15 hours. I had it into yesterday afternoon. So I'm feeling for my friends in the Fan who it sounds like still don't have it and didn't have it as of Monday afternoon. So different experiences here, although I'm told not to use it, is that I should not shower, right? The mayor is asking people not to use the water heavily while it restores and reboots for everyone. That's my understanding, right?
You're a team player, yeah. So, you know, I think he's okay with you taking a shower. Just don't linger. I know you got work to do tonight, so you can get your shower. Just don't. I think he's just saying don't linger. Don't make a deal of it. Don't take a nice warm bath, you know?
I think I'm good. Well, I think I don't have a bathtub, so that option's not open to me. We only have the shower here. But I'm thinking we're going to have a game tonight. It looks like it. VCU Athletics released a statement at 9 a.m. saying that the Siegel Center still did not have water as of 9 a.m. and that they would make a decision on the game by 2 p.m. today. I'm thinking with, you know, I have water downtown. It seems like everyone in the area is starting to get it, but I don't know. With people in the Fan still without water, I don't know what the situation at the Siegel Center is going to look like tonight, but what the Athletic statement said is that they were going to make a decision on fan attendance for the game tonight. So it looks like VCU's playing. The options are just, you know, we have a normal game and everyone's very relieved, or we have kind of a pandemic era throwback and VCU plays and there's no fans in attendance because the Siegel Center doesn't have the water to make it happen. It looks like those are the two possibilities at this point.
Yeah, and obviously both of us understand that basketball is the least important thing here, and getting water back to everybody is the most important thing, but that the timeline is very, you know, nebulous, in that it does feel like late this afternoon is when everybody's going to get water back, and so you don't want to prematurely shut the game down, and then it's 7 o'clock, water's flowing, but you don't have that opportunity. And, you know, throw on the pile, you've written about this, we've talked about it extensively. This is not business as usual in college athletics, Zach. There are major financial strains right now on paying the players, NIL, the settlement, the facilities keeping up with the A-10 competition. Losing a night of gate is not a great development for these guys either.
No, it's not. And I imagine you're alluding to my colleague and our good friend Eric Kulinich's story last week, which was great reporting on the fact that VCU is opting into that settlement and beginning with the 25-26 school year is going to pay its athletes directly. Relative to how the collective works, I'm not sure how much that changes in practice in the short term. It certainly changes their relationship between athletics and the collective. But specific to VCU's situation, you're right. While you're trying to navigate college athletics in the year 2025, you don't want to lose a gate fee for the night. And they certainly don't want to, you know, leave fans out to dry a little bit when everyone's planning on coming to a game tonight. But at the same time, it does feel a little, you know, we were talking about this last couple of days in the office when I was reading the sports budget. Is it never felt more like the toy department than the sports than it did in the last couple of days, right, relative to everything that was going on and talking about people have running water and safety and travel during the weather and everything. And so you want to play a basketball game tonight. You want to be able to entertain the fans and get everyone out to the Siegel Center. And hopefully at that point, we've all got water back. But obviously important to keep into perspective the important things here and the fact that a lot of people in and around the city still don't have running water.
Very well put. You referenced Eric. I want to detour into Times Dispatch colleagues for a moment because I love you, and I hope you know that. But I love John O'Connor. He was one of my
goodness.
Just all-time favorite people to work with. Covers the University of Richmond, the Flying Squirrels, and that undersells him. He just knows everything about everybody. Yesterday was named the Virginia Sports Writer of the Year, the David Teal Award. He won that 17 years in a row at one point before they changed the rules, said that you couldn't win back-to-back years anymore. They threw me a bone. I got laid off. Teal won it again. Then Mike Barber won it. They threw him a bone in the non-Teal year. He got laid off. I'm not suggesting the award is cursed, but JOC might want to watch out.
It's like the defense against the dark arts job at Hogwarts.
That's a great pull.
Sorry for that reference.
No, that was good. This started as a love letter and ended with watch your back. We both love working with John O'Connor, and that was just super cool to see his years of excellence in reporting rewarded.
Long overdue and incredibly well-deserved. I've learned a great deal from having the opportunity to work alongside JOC. For people who don't know, this man is an absolute machine. I have tried. I mean, it's only happened a handful of times that I was able to get into that office before JOC. That man wakes up at the crack of dawn, and he pumps out multiple stories every day. Eric tweeted yesterday, and this was a fascinating question that I'd love to know the answer to, and it would take a lot of research, but has anyone ever had more bylines in the history of the Times-Dispatch than John O'Connor? And I'm not sure that they have. That'd be difficult to try and do the numbers going back a while. But my goodness, that man is a machine, and over the years, just his output and his institutional knowledge of the area is unmatched. Do you remember that story that you told me? Always stuck in my head. What did he have? A punctured lung, and he was laying on the hospital bed a few years back. And you were telling him, JOC, please relax, rest up, you know, heal, and don't work yourself too hard here. And he's no can do, boss.
No, can do.
He was pumping out stories from his laptop in the hospital bed with a punctured lung.
That is 100% true. I want to know the stats now. He's clearly top three in Times Dispatch history. We had, I'm a little older than you. Ellen Robertson was our obituaries writer for a long time. And in that job, she would turn, you know, two or three obituaries in a day, because that's, you know, that, you know, you call people, you write it up, you keep them. They weren't big, long, flowery obituaries. It was just, you know, things. I don't know if we want to count that or not. She's going to be competitive in this contest. But this is certainly, this is a Cal Ripken-esque mark for sure. I love it. We're going to pull the numbers on that. Zach Joachim is at the Richmond Times-Dispatch, richmond.com, where he writes about VCU basketball. Their game is tonight, 7 o'clock, against Fordham. A decision on fan attendance by 2 p.m., so stay tuned to all the places you get your VCU news and info for that. If they play the game, Zach, and as you mentioned, a lot has happened. The loss at St. Bonnie's, which was every loss they've ever had rolled into one. Played well, tight game. I just didn't finish down the stretch. Very nice win at Loyola. I thought the defense was disruptive. I thought the offense, down the stretch made the shots that counted. Certainly Philip Russell is finding his groove right now. Loved watching Jack Clark find his way inside, and the threes still aren't falling, but found a way to make himself a contributor. Fordham, of course, that's a got to win it game. We all understand the rules here on net and the rankings and all that. What do you want to see from this team coming off a pretty important road trip?
I think it's the front court is the most important thing, that you want to see that not be a one off, and you want that to continue to be a trend, because that's the key, I think, and that's what I wrote about for the Advance today, to this team realizing its potential, right? I mean, it's so easy to be both glass half full and glass half empty with the prognosis on VCU season to this point, right? This team could be undefeated. They've been in every game. They probably should be 13-1, right? I mean, the New Mexico game is kind of the only one that stands out to me, as they probably on the balance of play deserve to lose that game, right? Jawan Dent was phenomenal that night. Bonaventure led for most of that game too, and Melvin Council was outstanding for the Bonnies and hitting that late game winner. But they absolutely should have won the Seton Hall and Nevada game, right? If they could close, and they had big leads in the second half of those games. But at the same time, they've shown an inability to close out close games, and that's been worrisome. And I mean, the production from the front court on paper going into the season was the question mark, right? You know that this team has guards galore: Philip Russell, Max Scholga, Zeb Jackson, Joe Bamisile. You've got a host of graduate guards, any one of whom can lead you in scoring on a given night. Russell with 26 and 25 in the last two games, as you said, him heating up has been huge for this team. They need him in crunch time, so him staying on the floor and staying out of foul trouble has been enormous. I think he's vital for this team's mentality in key moments. But it's Jack Clark and Christian Furman. I think at the end of the day, Luke Bamboye has been outstanding in the minutes that he's played. He's not scoring with a lot of volume, but he's been an outstanding shot blocker. I don't think you can ask for any more from the freshman forward than he's given this team to this point. And so it's Clark and Furman. They've got to step up and contribute offensively for this team to get where it wants to go, which is to the top of the A-10 and to the big dance. Clark, 12 points, 11 rebounds against Loyola, and they had that huge second half to close out that game. That was a back-and-forth game for a while, right? I think 12 lead changes in that one, and then VCU 22-6 run to close it out. And then Christian Furman had 14 points, 6 of 8 from the floor, was really efficient around the basket, as he is when he's at his best, scoring off of dump-offs, second-chance opportunities. VCU 30-5 edge in second-chance opportunities in that game. And what were the numbers inside, too? I think I have that right here. They beat Loyola up on the inside, 40-28 in the rebounding battle and 40-22 in the paint, which felt really good for a lot of VCU fans, because former Ram Jalen Deloach was doing a good deal of flexing in that game, was clearly hyped up to face his former program. So for the Rams to win on the inside was huge, given the complexion of this roster and the complexion of that game. VCU needs Furman and Clark to continue to step up, and Clark to continue to put the ball on the deck and attack the basket. Right, I think he was 6 of 9 from the floor in that game, 0 of 3 from beyond the arc, and he committed to not settling for outside shots. He looks like a good shooter. I know that in practice he can shoot a really high clip, but it just hasn't fallen for him to this point this year, and he looked good when he attacked the basket. So really, I think tonight against Fordham and moving forward, if this team is going to do what everyone knows it's capable of doing, which is winning the A-10 and getting to the NCAA tournament, those two guys have got to continue to provide an offensive presence on the inside, because that's been the missing ingredient for this team to this point.
Yeah, it's going to be fun because there's a lot of good teams in the A-10. My goodness, a GW beating Dayton the other night. It's going to be a battle.
Was that? Without Buchanan, I could not believe that.
Neither guy, I still can't believe it. It's going to be a battle every night. It's probably going to come down to D.C., whether these guys make the dance or not. It's going to be a ton of fun, though. Zach, we appreciate the time. May or may not see you at the Siegel Center tonight. Hopefully some of our friends are there as well, cheering on the team, because I think that'd mean good things, not just for VCU, but for everybody in the city. And we will catch up with you under normal circumstances next week.
I think you will. I'm optimistic. Also, St. Louis next Tuesday is going to be a huge one, too. So hopefully we've got some fun Rams basketball news to talk about next week. Thank you for having me on, my friend.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure. We are back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan.
105.1 FM.
We are worldwide on the free Odyssey app. We're going to talk to Robbie Robinson, voice of the VCU Rams, here in a few minutes. Before we do that, we're going to dive into some NFL action. You may have heard, you may not have heard, it's a playoff week for the Washington Commanders. You may have heard, you may not have heard, our brief Commanders Rewind yesterday. Abbreviated Commanders Rewind, because it's the weird time. It's like, and I compared it to, it's like when VCU wins the A-10 title game, which is awesome and fun, and there's confetti, and they lift a trophy, and everybody's so happy. And then 3 hours later, they put out the bracket, and nobody cares anymore. Because, ooh, it's the bracket. What do you think? They're the 11 seed. They're the 10 seed. What do you think of the matchup? Who's the sleeper? Who got left out? Where's Gonzaga? All the things, like, just effective immediately, we don't discuss that game anymore. You don't get... I just wish they had a couple days to just enjoy that. I wish we had that time with this Cowboys game. We don't, because it's playoff week. It is Commanders Bucks. Today is a very important day. This is the first injury report of the week, and so that's going to be very telling for two key players. We want to see if they're out on the practice field today. Marshawn Lattimore, of course, is essential personnel. Marshawn Lattimore got traded for from the Saints, and I misread this one. I think it's possible they did too. There, around the trade deadline, there's always guys who are, and I'm using the air quotes here, injured, and they want to be traded, and they're sitting games out, and they're doing all that, and they get traded to new teams, and you know, get a little fresh air, and just seems to fix them, and life's good, and they move on. I thought that was going to be Marshawn Lattimore. I was hoping that would be Marshawn Lattimore. It wasn't Marshawn Lattimore. He's actually got a hamstring injury, and it's actually held him back, and he re-aggravated it playing a couple weeks ago. And that's what it is. You hope he's around for the future. You also know that if he's a hamstring liability going forward, it could be a long few years. Maybe the offseason will do him some good, but they need him this week. There's simply no getting around it. They need him against Mike Evans, and what a matchup that is. 8 years running, division rivals. Sometimes you have rivalries and you have like, oh, these teams just don't like each other. It's Steelers and the Ravens, man. You draw out the record books when these teams play. They just plain don't like each other. and then after the game, they trade jerseys and they dap each other up and they go back. Like, they play hard and then they dap each other up. Marshawn Lattimore and Mike Evans, I feel confident saying this, they hate each other. It's a visceral, blood-boiling hate. Playing in the division for 8 years. They've been kicked out of games over fighting with each other, over sparring with each other. It's not a surprise this is a primetime game. You'll hear it on the Fan Sunday night, 8 o'clock, of course. That's your matchup. That's your marquee matchup on that side of the ball. So injury report coming in a few hours. I know AWOD will bring that to you live when it happens. A lot of news coming during AWOD's show today. We'll get a VCU fan decision. We'll get the injury report. So Marshawn Lattimore in the secondary, it's a big one. On offense, it's all Tyler Biadasz. I know you guys are sick of hearing me say Tyler Biadasz is essential personnel. He is. He's the center. He has missed time. The offensive line is worse when he is injured or does not play. The Commanders, first 12 games of the year, allowed 4 sacks just one time. Last 4 games, it's happened. That's not just Biadasz. That's the whole offensive line. They're banged up. Cornelius Lucas has been in and out. It's the last thing you want going into the playoffs, though, is an offensive line that's banged up. That is a big red flag. I love Jaden. I love everything he does. I love how he can take things into his own hands. That's a big, big issue, though. So we'll see if Tyler Biadasz practices today. That'll be the other major item. Of course, we're looking at Philly, too. Their first injury report of the week. And see if Jalen Hurts is going to practice this week, which is also hanging over everything, as he's in the concussion protocol from a couple weeks ago. They're playing the Packers at a game that is, one, a fun game, and two, has some downstream implications for these guys. Because remember, in the NFL, it's not a bracket. Each round, they repair the best team with the worst team. So you don't know who they're going to play in the next round until it happens. And the Packers-Eagles game will have influence over that. So there's a lot going on in the NFL. Bad football teams are doing things too. And it would not be a week if we did not check in with our friend Jerry Jones in Dallas. Now, 31 NFL teams out of 32 have made a decision about their head coach for next year. Because that's what you do after the season ends. Will he be back? Do you fire him? Whatever it happens to be. One team had an owner, Jerry Jones, who said on Sunday, the hay's in the barn, when he was asked about the decision. I don't speak Jerry. I'm not folksy like Jerry. I interpreted that to mean that he knew what he was going to do. It's Wednesday. He did his appearance on our sister station, The Fan in Dallas. Let's get to Jerry Jones.
Then I would say go talk. I really would. Okay. Go talk.
So it sounds like you.
I just let Zeke do that.
Gotcha.
But I don't want anybody here. That's not healthy to have somebody around who wants to be someplace else. Really, it's not.
I would tell, if Mike McCarthy wants to talk to other teams, I would tell him, go do that. That's not healthy to have somebody here who wants to be somewhere else. I guess my quick reminder on that would be that you're making the decision, not Mike McCarthy. Before we get to the phone call here, let's hear from Mike McCarthy too, Hazel, so we can put this storyline in the barn. Here's Mike McCarthy because he has thoughts as well.
I don't like to talk about myself that way, but I'll just be clear. I'm a winner. I know how to win. I've won a championship. I won a championship in this building, and that's who I am. So we'll see where it goes.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Perfect for each other. Only thing I'd suggest is maybe Aaron Rodgers. Might be time to add a little Aaron Rodgers to that mix. I think that would be nice as well. Get a little Aaron Rodgers in that mix. Get a winner in Jerry. Get a winner in Mike McCarthy. Three guys who are used to being in charge wherever they go. I don't know what's taking so long. Does McCarthy know? Does Jerry know? Does anybody know? I don't know. What's going to happen here in Dallas? And also, because my understanding is because they have a coach, they can't go interview coaches. So if they're going to get a coach, it does feel like now is the time to go do that while the carousel is spinning. Never, ever change is what I say to them down there. We have a fluid situation, as you guys know. They're going to play basketball tonight, VCU Fordham. Robbie Robinson's going to be there. He's the voice of the Rams. He joins us on VCU game days. Latest word here from the school. We're all waiting to see. The water's coming back on gradually. We have at my house what we're calling a trickle. That's a technical water industry term, but it's building. We're getting a little bit more every minute, every hour. So I think everybody's really hopeful that the water will be back, that the fans can be there for a return to the Siegel Center that's been pretty anticipated after this big road trip. 2 o'clock today, VCU says they're going to make a decision or an announcement about fans being at tonight's game. Of course, gives us an opportunity to remind you. You can always hear it right here on The Fan with Robbie and Rodney, and Robbie joins us now. Good morning. How's it going? You got water?
You know, I'm fortunate. I live in a very western part of Henrico County, so I feel awful for those that do live in the city. We lived in the city for 8 great years, right up there off of Stewart Avenue, and we would have been a part of it, but no, we have water here at the Robinson House. And have friends coming over to shower today. So we're trying to reach out to everybody we can and say, if you want to come over, feel free.
It's very generous. We've been extended offers by our friends out in the counties as well. We're all looking out for each other. So that's awesome. We haven't talked to you in a minute. A very eventful road trip. I guess I'll just have you recap both these games briefly, because the Bonnies game, which was a thrilling, exciting game, and then doesn't go their way on the last couple possessions there. And then the opposite of that, Loyola, where they finished strong. Great note to come back home on, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, the last 20 minutes of the game against Loyola, Michael's probably the best we've played 20 straight minutes the entire season. I don't know. And we've had some good stretches for sure. I mean, when you look at a team that's 11-4, you're going to have good stretches of basketball. But that might have been, I think that was the eye opener for a lot of us, that if we can get things locked in defensively, which we can, I mean, we're allowing only like 62 points per game. But I guess a good team like Loyola, to be able to hold them to 27 second half points and score 47 and roll to an 18 point win on the road in a building that's difficult to play up in Chicago, that was, I think that we were really bullish on the Rams coming out of that game in the Windy City. So whether it's our defense that was paying a little bit more attention to details than maybe they did at St. Bonaventure and in the first half of that game, or getting Phil Russell going, getting Jack Clark with the double-double, some of the other pieces laying in place. Yeah, I mean, I think I had a little indigestion at halftime on Saturday, thinking, golly, we've got to figure things out. Lo and behold, they did.
They did, and Phil Russell did, man. He's been so good these last couple of games. Any sense of, has he turned a corner? Is he getting hot? What's going well there?
I don't know, Michael. That's a good question. I think shots are going in. He's executing. And sometimes with shooters, that's just a matter of how it goes. And I think he's got a hot streak, like anything, like a hitter. Gosh, this guy's 7 for his last 12 after going 3 of his last 15. And I think when you have the talent that our guys do, because we have a plethora of good shooters on our team, Shulga, Russell, Bamisil, Zeb Jackson's a good shooter, Fats Billups is a good shooter, you would like to think that at least at one time, one of them or two of them are going to be hot. And I think right now it's Phil's turn to get hot. That's not to say he couldn't go out tonight and throw up a 3 for 13 and score 9 points, but I think at least as we're playing right now, he's the guy that's got the hot hand. And it's interesting when you sit courtside and you watch the game really happen right in front of you, Max Shulga, towards the end of the game, he was searching for Phil. And I think that's the definition of a great point guard, is a guy like Shulga who can score in his own right, who's got his own ability to shoot. He can fill it, but he was looking for Phil Russell, and Russell was paying off when he got in basketball.
No question about that. And he'd been. I think we identified pretty quickly he was going to be somebody the fans really gravitated to, and he has delivered in that sense. Robbie and Rodney on the call, of course, tonight. VCU basketball on 910. The Fan. Defensively as well against Loyola. The whole game, really. They bothered him. They got after him, and I know we played. Coach Odom mentioned with you guys in the post-game chat. He felt like that was a strong. I know the score, you know, what didn't reflect it at halftime, but he felt like they were doing some nice things defensively, getting them bothered.
Yeah, they were, and I think our guys. I think our guys, it's just a matter of focus on that side of the floor. We have the ability to be good defensively. We've got good defensive players. Phil's good defensive players. Zeb Jackson's preseason all defensive team in the league. I just think sometimes we lose focus on that side and we don't execute the way we should execute, and that costs us. When you're in a league like the A-10, Michael, that you have to be good every time down the floor, because the opposition will have players that can take advantage of your defensive mistakes. Everybody thinks about offensive mistakes. Those are easy to find. Those are turnovers or a bad pass or an ill-advised shot. Defensive mistakes are hidden a little bit more from your everyday fan, and I think, you know, teams on both sides of the floor make those all the time. We have been making, when we're not playing well or when we are getting scored upon, I think it's less about the just overall better talent on the opposition than it is us just not focused in and giving them something that we shouldn't give them. If that makes sense. I don't know if that makes sense or not, coming out of my mouth, but I think that's what the Rams are working with right now. But again, go ahead and say it, like, giving up only 62 points per game, we're one of the best defensive teams in the country, and I think by and large, all season long, we've been locked in. It's the games that we've lost where we'll have these 5 or 7 minute stretches where teams will get shots in, take advantage of what we're doing wrong defensively, and that ends up costing us a game. It did against St. Bonaventure a week ago.
Yeah, no, it makes total sense that, you know, and so much of it is 40 minute game, you know, all these breaks in intensity, and we've seen it. You lapse for 4 minutes, and all of a sudden, the scoreboard looks very different. And we've seen it the other way too. You get hot for 4 minutes, and all of a sudden, scoreboard looks very different the other way. I guess we've seen all these A-10 teams. We've gotten used to them over the last few years coming around. While you guys were doing the game the other day, I'm watching as Dayton's losing to George Washington by 20. I have no clue how that happened, but it just feels like I know Fordham tonight, which is not the sexy name A-10 team, but man, it sure feels like this league is deep and coming to play this year.
It's balanced. You never really know sometimes when you look at team schedules how good they really are. George Washington did not play a super aggressive schedule in the preseason. They scheduled a lot of wins. They took care of business. They held serve, whatever you want to say. And then you're like, all right, well, once they run into league play, they're going to be shown how good or how bad they really are. And, man, they opened up some eyes the other day, didn't they? You're right. I mean, you get that kind of win against Dayton. I don't care if you're home or the road or neutral or whatever. That was a big win for George Washington. It was a tough loss for Dayton. They did not have that in their bingo card, I'm sure, going and getting thwacked by the Revolutionaries. But then you also look around, like, say, Bonaventure, they came to our game a week ago. They were 12-1. They hadn't really played anybody. They had a win over Providence, but Providence isn't great in the Big East. And they're good. Now they're 2-0, and they're looking like they're going to be one of the classes of the league. We still have questions probably about Rhode Island. Rhode Island had a great preseason record, didn't play anybody, haven't really beaten anybody in the A-10, but now you've got to think, man, they are pretty good. So maybe a week ago, I would have said there's four decent A-10 teams. The Rams would have been a part of that. I think that now stretches to probably 6-8. And even looking across the street at the Spiders, I mean, they're 2-0. They've gotten off to a great start. You can never sleep on Chris Mooney and what he does there. So to your point, Michael, I think there are not going to be any gimmies. And that goes for tonight. I mean, Fordham's got a couple really good players. They're well coached by Keith Ergo. They know what they're doing on both sides of the floor. They haven't had success early in the season in the A-10. They got pummeled by St. Louis, and then St. Bonaventure just rolled them on Saturday up in the Bronx. But again, like, this is the Atlantic 10. There are no off days. I mean, when we joined this league 12, 13 years ago, we realized there was no games that you could just take off, no matter who it was, Fordham, Dayton, or anywhere in between.
Yeah, I'd say it's a fun league. Not sure that's exactly the word Coach Odom wants us to be using. I think he'd rather have a little certainty, and certainly, you know, you got to be ready. You got to be dialed in every night. Robbie and Rodney are going to have the call tonight. The rest is up in the air, but stay tuned to the Fan. Of course, the VCU basketball, all that, the Twitter, they'll let you know. Stay safe out there. Enjoy the call. Should be a fun one. And we'll be talking next Tuesday ahead of another big one against St. Louis, which I'm excited for as well.
Yeah.
They're going to start coming fast and furious, and we don't have a ton of weekend games this year just because we're on the Friday night ESPN schedule a whole lot. So you and I, Michael, will have a lot of conversations. I look forward to it, and we'll take care. We'll see what happens tonight, and then we can focus in on the Billikens week for coming up on this next Tuesday.
Take them one at a time. That's the right approach. He's Robbie Robinson. Thank you for making some time for us this morning, and we'll hear him, of course, tonight. We'll step aside. Top of the hour coming up. We're back at 11. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. It's a playoff week. You'll hear the game Sunday, 8 o'clock. Commanders and the Buccaneers are getting excited for this one. Big day out there in Ashburn as they're getting ready, and nobody better to bring on to talk about it than our guy Craig Hoffman. He's on our sister station, the Team 980 up in Washington, D.C. I know what you're thinking. Are they on the Odyssey app? Is it still free up there? Yes, it is. Thank you for asking. You can hear Craig's show every evening on the Odyssey app down here. Craig, good morning. I feel like we need to address, before we go any further, on Monday, I was on your show, and I had to big time you halfway through the segment, so I appreciate you still taking my call.
Michael, you were attending to very important business, and I think getting the water turned back on in Richmond, which, if folks don't know, Michael single-handedly did. He found the knob.
We did it.
And turned it himself. I think that was more important than my silly little radio show. So I appreciate your service to your fine city.
I'm drinking a delightful glass of H2O right now as we do this conversation. You're very kind to understand. Let's dive into this one. You have week one, obviously. That's a data point. I don't need week one to know Todd Bowles is coming for Jaden Daniels. What's he got to do to stay upright? What's this offensive line going to have to do to withstand what's coming their way this weekend?
First of all, they need to figure out who the heck's coming. And that is very, very hard against Todd Bowles' defense. They are, I believe, second in the NFL in unblocked pressures. So they are very, very good at confusing offensive lines and really challenging their protection rules. Hey, we're going to show something that makes you slide your line to the left, and we're not coming from the left, we're coming from the right. And so it's on Tyler Biadasz being back healthy and available, first of all. Secondly, it's on Jaden Daniels to help with the protections and understand where free runners could be coming from, keep an eye on them, and then if they do come, like, know where your hot routes are. It's guys like Zach Ertz and Olamide Zaccheaus and Jamison Crowder, these underneath players that have been really effective for Washington at times this year. So it's on the entire offense, obviously, but some of the finer points start even before the ball is snapped.
You mentioned the injury report. Obviously, the injury report will come out here in a bit. We'll get a little more word. And certainly, when Lucas went down the other day, I was like, oh man, you know, things are happening here and not good things either. So hopefully, back to full strength, that'll be important this week as well. How much of the running game struggles are correlated with everything we just mentioned about the offensive line, and how much is, you know, maybe B-Rob just isn't rolling like he used to?
I definitely think a lot more of it is offensive line adjacent than it is running back adjacent. And even the stuff that's running back adjacent, I would say you can draw back to a lack of confidence by the running back in the offensive line. So what's frustrating, I like, in a way this is good, in a way this is bad. There's not any consistent problem. But if there was one consistent problem, then you could maybe call the game around that problem or try to really attack that problem with different personnel or whatever the thing is. The problem is, like, sometimes they mistarget the run. It's like, oh, we should have blocked that guy, and instead we blocked that guy, and that meant the guy we were supposed to block was blocked by nobody, and that's obviously not great. Sometimes they block the right guys and just don't do that good of a job. This line very rarely gets really good movement. I think one of the things that happens a lot when you go back and watch the All-22 tape is you'll watch a play and be like, oh, that was a good defense. That was like that was a no gain because the running back just ran into the back of the offensive line and kind of fell down, and hey, good job. And then you realize it was a 5-yard gain because the offensive line moved the defensive line 5 yards down the field before there was any contact with the running back. And that doesn't happen a whole lot for Washington. They just don't get that kind of movement. A lot of their bigger runs come on these pull plays where they create a genuine seam for the running back to get through. The thing is, where it does come back a little bit on B-Rob, and I think you saw Eckler do a good job of this at times last week, and I think Chris Rodriguez actually has done a pretty good job as well this year, is
when you watch NFL running games are very coordinated, and you have to hit the hole at the exact right time. And you have to kind of run full speed towards it when it's not open yet and trust that those blocks are going to hit, that crease is going to come up, and you'll be able to squeeze through it. And B-Rob, I think at times, is like, I don't see the hole, and it'll start to dance and whatever, and then you miss that fleeting moment where if everything's kind of choreographed, if you will, perfectly, that hole will open up, the running back can get through it, and then who cares if it closes again behind you. It's not long, and you have to trust it. And I don't feel like Brian Robinson, because often he has run into the back of guys and the hole never does open, how often are you going to slam your face into a brick wall of 700 pounds of offensive linemen before you just go, maybe I should run around these guys? And so I get it, but I do think he probably needs to run with a little bit more trust, and I assume that that's something that's being preached by Anthony Lynn and others on that offensive staff.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. Craig Hoffman joining us. He knows his football. He talks about it on the Team 980, our sister station up in D.C. Less X's and O's. This team has won in the final 6 seconds of each of the last 4 football games. Are you of the camp that says they're crunch time players, they get it done? I'm riding with that this weekend. Or is there the fear of, okay, they've won a lot of coin flips, Let's stop having coin flips here. They're due.
Can it be both?
Sure.
Like, if it's a coin flip game late, I trust them to make the plays. Also, as Dan Quinn said earlier this week, just because we can doesn't mean we have to. And I've been trying to tell them that. I too, Dan, from my radio microphone, have been trying to tell them that. They don't seem to listen to me. I would hope that they listen to you because you're the head coach, but also, you know, telling them is one thing, actually performing is another. I don't think they were like, oh, wow, we can win in a blowout? We didn't know that. Thanks, Dan. A guy on the radio was trying to tell us, and we didn't believe him. I think that, like, where I sit is I acknowledge they've won 5 straight games, and 4 of them are really close, but they've won 5 straight games. That's tremendous. By the way, 5 straight is more than they won all of last season, and we should be very thankful for that. I think that in these moments, these winning time moments, to use their term, there is a high level of belief, and there's a part of me that actually loves that they did this without Jaden Daniels this week, because so much of the talk had been, if we have 5, we have a chance, and now they can look each other in the face and be like, even if we don't have 5, we have a chance. We'll make the plays. We'll figure it out. And there is something, especially when a team practices situational football as much as this team does, there is something to that. But they need to play better if they're going to really make any kind of run in the playoffs. Nevertheless, just win one game in these playoffs, because the quality of the performances has just not been very high, snap in, snap out. And I think once you face the best of the best, which is all you get in the playoffs, unless you are the AFC team that's playing the Houston Texans, but that's all you're going to get on the NFC side of the bracket. I do think that it's going to demand a higher level of performance than we've seen in these last 4 games, where they've pulled it off at the last second. And that, by the way, includes beating an Eagles team that's the 2 seed, even though you beat them basically without Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the NFC, I think there's 2 really good teams, the Lions and the Eagles, and that's healthy Eagles, obviously, not just Eagles, period. But then the other 5, put them in a hat, draw your numbers. You're playing somebody good every time you come out, and anybody can win any of these. And that's what we want out of this this little tournament here is some fun football. I think we're going to get it this weekend. AFC side 2, you nailed it. The AFC is way more top-heavy, I would say Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, then you draw the line and everybody else. Any other games you're excited for this weekend?
I mean, I'm excited for most of them. I think what's really interesting about the dichotomy between the 2 conferences is in the NFC, you have a bunch of teams that are really well-constructed rosters. And Washington might be the most outside of that bubble, where they are more quarterback-powered. Although, again, like, I mean, we saw them do it without Jaden in the second half last week, so there are obviously other good players and other elements. But a lot of Washington's success has obviously been driven by Jaden. There's no – anyone who's watched them all season long is not taking one half against the Cowboys and being like, maybe Jaden wasn't as good as I thought the whole time. But for the AFC, you have Buffalo with Josh Allen, Lamar in Baltimore, Pat Mahomes in KC, on down the list of like these really high level quarterbacks, and then, you know, some other teams that are we pretty much aren't giving a chance. So I think that's kind of one of the really interesting things, is can in the NFC, like, does one of these quarterbacks go nuclear for four games, let's call it, a Joe Flacco, you know, when the Ravens won the Super Bowl with Flacco, and he was incredible for four games and took what was a great roster and turned it into the best team that playoff run and won a Super Bowl. Do you have one of these great rosters that's undone by a quarterback? Kind of like what happened Sunday night, frankly, with Sam Darnold in that Minnesota-Detroit game, where it's like, man, if Sam Darnold could have just played like 2024 Sam Darnold instead of every other year Sam Darnold, maybe the Lions would have lost that game and the Vikings would have had home field and been the one seed. So I think like that's what's really interesting to me, Michael, is like you have these incredible rosters that could be either elevated or undone by the quarterbacking. And then you have in the AFC, Lamar, Mahomes, Allen, who two of the three are trying to get to that level that they've just never gotten to before, and can they really take a roster that is built around them and get to the promised land? And I think how that dynamic plays out is going to be really interesting, and all the games along the way thus have outside, I guess, of even to an extent, Chargers-Texans, can either of those two quarterbacks turn it on to a level they never have before? I think is really, really fascinating to watch, not just this weekend, but on through, hopefully the Super Bowl.
Got two great players, for sure. It'll be a fun weekend. Obviously, headliner here, Commanders-Bucks. We haven't even mentioned Marshawn Lattimore. Maybe sneak that in here at the finish line, Craig. How important is it, do you expect this to be old school verbal fireworks all game long with Mike Evans, or is this going to be a tamer version of that?
I kind of think there will be, because that seems to be the only gear that Lattimore has. We haven't seen much of him, obviously, but like what we saw against A.J. Brown was those two getting after it. Yep. Pretty good, and they don't have the history of Lattimore and Evans. And maybe Evans tries to push that down in a way, and it's just like, whatever it is, what it is, like I'm not getting caught up in the shenanigans. I'm too old for this. And I don't know that Lattimore is going to let him. So I tend to think that he will try to get under Evan's skin. But I also, hey, man, you gotta be out there. Nothing that gets you thrown out of the game, because we know that without Lattimore, this is a very, very different defense. I was joking on my show yesterday, and Mitch Tischler was like, if Lattimore doesn't play, it's, putting it together with duct tape and whatever. And I was like, can we duct tape the flag on Benjamin St. Juice's side of the field to the referee's hip so we can't take it? Because that would be nice. If Benjamin doesn't get flagged, then he's a good corner. The problem is he keeps committing silly penalties at the worst time. So he's huge. And I will say this too. The other thing, Michael, is they really missed Quan Martin on Saturday. There's a bunch of plays where Percy Butler, because he's not as good as Quan Martin and because he hasn't played as much and he's definitely rusty playing that volume of snaps, just was not on top of stuff. And some of the miscommunications they have, Quan Martin's one of their best communicators. So getting Quan back, where he was just sick, he should be fine for Sunday, is huge. But obviously, Lattimore versus Evans, like, get your popcorn ready for that one.
Yeah, it's going to be a ton of fun. I'm fired up. Popcorn's ready. It's a little Sunday night football. I know you'll be getting ready for it all week long. Craig Hoffman on the Team 980 up in D.C. Listen to it on the Odyssey app. Craig, thank you for dropping by for a few.
Michael, always a pleasure, and good job turning the water back on for the city.
I'm here to serve. I got Awad standing next to me. Awad doesn't have water yet, so we'll tread lightly here while he's in studio. Some are winners so far, some are losers in the Great Water Lottery. We'll put a bow on this thing, head off to break. We'll be back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.